father's been talking to him all week. I felt like I've been talking to my son all week as well. But we'll deal with that a little bit later. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful time, and I'm certainly glad that Jeanette could be here with me as she has been these many, many years that we've traveled together. But it's been a wonderful place, and we love this place, love the weather, just love you folks. Thank you all for having us. I hope everyone has a faith promise card. I know the pastor is going to be dealing with this today. At Crossroads Baptist Church, we've had 32 consecutive Faith Promise Missions conferences every year from Wednesday through Sunday. Sunday is always a great day because we believe that what we do today financially in our commitment will help determine the fate of the heathens, and we're trying to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've been praying. What we try to do at our church is we want total participation. You know, God is not impressed with our ability or how much money we have. He's impressed with the heart. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Faith Promise is all about. And I know that you know that. And we certainly thank the Lord for it. Take your Bibles, if you would. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 11. That's where we're going. We're going to look at a couple of other passages as well. But I want you to look with me, if you would, as we begin here in Proverbs chapter number 11. And I'm going to read three verses here. And we'll look at this passage here and get some thoughts from it this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning in verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us another Sunday morning that we can come together and gather around the Word of God and pray together, sing together, gather around the preaching. What an opportunity. We look forward to Sunday mornings for the time of worship and the time that we can get together with our great God. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for what you've done this week. We thank you for this local church, this pastor, his family, the wonderful people here. We thank you for the missionaries that you've brought together here. And I pray this final day of the missions conference, I pray you'll challenge every heart. I pray that the God of heaven, who loved the world enough to send his son, will look down upon this local church and be pleased with the hearts that have been touched and challenged to do more to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless our Sunday school hour. Thank you for those that are here today. Bless all the children activities that are going on. And I pray this will be a glorious day to honor our Savior. Now take me as your servant. Cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, gives us what I call a practical precept from Proverbs. Many years ago, I preached through the book of Proverbs and preaching on practical precepts of Proverbs. And here's a practical precept from Proverbs that I think will make a difference in our whole attitude toward missions, our whole attitude towards serving and serving the Lord. It gives an example of two farmers. One farmer in difficult times would take the seed that he had and would sow that, and he'd have more. The other one would think about himself and the situations and the circumstances, hold on to what he had, and he ended up in poverty. When you think about this precept, it's really an attitude that we have when it comes to the matter of giving. One person takes the resources that God has entrusted into his care, and he takes that and he would use it for others, and he always seems to have more. Well, the other person takes the resources that God allows him to have and hangs on to it, and he ends up in poverty. You know, I've learned something that, you know, the world says, I become richer by hanging on to what I have. Well, then God's way of doing it We have a lot more by using what we have for the benefit and the blessings of others. And then he goes down in verse number 25 as a thought that I want to talk about a little bit today. He makes this statement, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." You know, I've been a Bible-believing Christian now for 39 years, from the time that I got saved. And there's some things in life that I am not liberal about. For instance, I'm not liberal in my philosophy. I'm not liberal in my politics. I'm not even liberal in my standards. I think Christian people ought to look like Christians. I'm not liberal in my music. I think that music ought to have the right message. It ought to have the right melody. I'm not liberal. I'm basically a conservative person, and therefore I do that in my Christian life. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches, though, in this precept that I just read to you that we're going to look at this morning, there is something that we ought to be liberal about. We shouldn't be liberal in our philosophy or our politics or our standards or our music, but I ought to be liberal when it comes to my giving. I ought to be liberal in how I give. And I've learned something over the years. The Bible says the liberal soul refers to the soul of blessing. In other words, if I'm a soul of blessing, if I understand that God has entrusted something into me, I'm better off if I'm liberal in how I use that for the glory of God. Wouldn't it be good if a local New Testament church would spend a lot more time in the people that we're trying to reach instead of trying to be liberal in politics and standards and music and all of that? We'd become more liberal in giving for the sake of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk this morning during this Sunday school hour about being a liberal giver when it comes to missions. We've heard this week that the mission of the church is missions. That's why this church exists. That's why you are here. God put you in the church as it pleased him. God has entrusted you with resources. I'm a steward. I don't own anything. I'm just the manager. I manage my time, manage my talent, manage my treasure for the glory of God. And as a steward, God's looking for something in my life. I'm accountable. I'm accountable to God. And therefore, he takes note of how I use what he has given me for his honor and glory. So as a good steward, I want to be accountable. Then God looks around and says, I've given you this and I've given you this. Can I depend upon you? If I give you more, are you going to use it for yourself? Or are you going to use it for the sake of other people? And then I need to make what I have available. And I believe without a doubt what the local church needs when it comes to world evangelization. We need some men, women, boys, and girls and say, I'm going to be liberal in my giving for the sake of others. I don't know about you, but I am blessed of God. God is a good God and a wonderful God, and I could take hours and tell you how good God's been since the day that he saved my soul. As a matter of fact, I haven't gotten over being saved. I think that was the greatest gift that I've ever received. But then I look at my family, I look at my church, I look at people that I know and friends, and I say, what a great God that we have. And for me, whatever I have, I want to use it for God. I want to be a liberal soul in my giving. I teach and preach at our church that giving is a part of worship. I mean, I worship God in how I give back to God for the sake of other people. So let's talk a little bit about being liberal. When you fill out your faith promise card here tonight, when you do that, and God looks down, who sees all, knows all, looks at your stewardship, looks at what he's given you, how he's blessed you. Are you the kind of Christian that says, you know, I want to be a liberal soul. I want to be a soul of blessing. In other words, I'm so thankful for what God's done for me, I want to be a blessing to somebody else. That ought to be the attitude in which we use today when we think about 7.3 billion people in this world. Many of them have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How liberal can I be in my commitment today to be a blessing to somebody else? Three things I want you to see about this from this passage about a liberal soul, a soul of blessing. I think if you are a liberal soul, you are a soul of blessing, you've learned in your Christian life how to be generous in your giving for the sake of other people. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. A liberal soul is a generous giver. It's someone who's learned to involve, invest, and even increase his or her giving to be a blessing to someone else. And I think if I'm generous in my giving, and by the way, I've learned that from 3 weeks from the time that I got saved. I was in business, and you start a little business. The idea is a young fellow and trying to make it, and you get ulcers and all trying to figure it out. And I learned right after I got saved that it belonged to God. And when I turned it over to God, oh, how he began to bless and bless. And by the way, he does that for his children. So I've learned that if I'm going to be a generous giver, you know why I want to be generous in my giving? I want to be generous in doing it in and through my local church. I believe in the local church. I believe the local church is the organism that's raised up by God to evangelize the world. And I don't know about you, I thank God for the local church. And I want to be plugged into the local church. And now, I say this in Northern Virginia, and I'm on a 10:45 flight tonight back to Northern Virginia, so you all can't get me. I'm going to be gone. But I believe that if you ever expect to get a reward in heaven, you're going to earn it through your local church. If you expect to lay up treasure in heaven, you better lay it up in and through your local church. The Bible does say, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, the ministry of the local church ought to be where I'm going to be the most generous in my giving for the sake of other people, because I know my local church, the more I give of my time and my talent, my treasure, the more my local church that's received the mission, the commandment from God, is going to get the job done for Almighty God. So I started by being a church giver. You know, I'm one of those people. Before I headed to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church Wednesday. So I left Wednesday. When my son, Pastor Kenny, picked me up to take us to the airport, I handed him two envelopes. There, that envelope has my tithes, my offerings, my building fund, my missions. I want it in the local church. I don't want to be out here on Sunday morning and I brought my tithes and offerings with me. I'm not satisfied with giving it when I get back. So I teach people here, if you're going to go on vacation, we still have to pay the lights. We still have to pay the missionaries. So I want to be a good church giver. So before we travel, we leave our tithes and offerings so they can go into the local church on Sunday morning. So I want to be generous and be a church giver. I want to be consistent in my giving. I don't want to hit and miss. I love it. I don't give my tithes and offerings to get tax deductions, but I like at the end of the year to say for 52 weeks, I've been consistent in honoring the Lord, and I want to be a soul of blessing. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I want to be a liberal soul, a soul of blessings. Crossroads Baptist Church that I pastored for 30 years, and I'm my son for the last 4 years, we strive to get people to be consistent all year long. When I get down on my knees and I need a blessing and a miracle from God, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time confessing that I've robbed God. I want to get that out of the way. I want to be clean, because I tell young couples when they get married, look, you don't have to pay tithes and offerings in your local church because the church can't make it without your tithes and offerings. But I tell you one thing, you can't make it unless you honor God and be consistent. So I want to be a church giver. Generous givers are church givers who give in and through the local church on a consistent basis. 90 to 95% of the congregation that I pastored for 30 years of some 400 or so people pay tithes, offerings, missions, building fund, Sunday school offering, because they want to be a soul of blessing. And I tell you something, when you honor God financially and take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. So I want to be generous in my giving. Now, I believe giving ought to be threefold. I believe, first of all, giving starts with paying. Paying, the Bible tells us, the tithe is the Lord. Now, you don't have to be spiritual, the tithe. You just have to be obedient. All right? God gets his tithe one way or the other. Someone hadn't seen a church member for a little while. I asked, where's John? Hadn't been around. They say, he's in the hospital. God's taking out his tithes. And sometimes, you know, you're not gonna tithing before the law, doing the law, after the law. The tithe is the Lord. So I believe giving begins with paying. Before I can ever offer God something, I must first pay God that which is already his. Before you can give a faith promise that's going to honor God and be accepted by God, you got to pay God what you owe him. So giving begins with paying. And then I think then it continues with what I call proving. That's when I learn how good God is, how wonderful God is. I pay him his tithe. Then I want to prove to God how much I love him. So I give tithes and offerings. I've been to churches all over the country and the world where people stress so much about tithing. A church never makes it just off the tithing of a local church. And when people learn to give tithes and offerings. I remember as a young Christian when I learned to tithe, I said, oh, I wish I could get to the point where I can give a half a tithe as an offering. And then I want to strive to give my offering to reach my tithe, be as much 10% tithe, 10% offering. And I've learned over the years that the longer I know God, the better he is to me and the more I'm willing to sacrifice and to give to him for the cause of reaching the world. So I believe tithing starts with paying, and every church member ought to be paying their tithes and offerings through the local church. And then as you get to know God and you grow, you learn the sacrifice. You learn to prove to God that you love him by giving offerings and increased offerings and increased offerings. And then I think, thirdly, giving ought to be done in a pleasing way. And the Bible tells it ought to be the attitude of the heart. It says we ought to be a considerate giver, ought to purpose in the heart. This is where your missions come. It's a heart matter. It's not a head matter. It's a heart matter. I've got a purpose in my heart that I'm going to be concerned about the things that God is concerned about. By the way, what time am I to stop? 10 o'clock? 10:10. So I want to make sure that I honor. So the Bible says, every man as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. God is not hard up. All right? He really can do without us, but we can't do without him. And it's a heart matter. All of my Christian life, you know, every year, and I know I've been in business. I own a professional cleaning service. At one time, I had a nursing agency where I had 400 shifts of critical care RNs and LPNs in hospitals. And I remember in 1980, starting a nursing agency where I gave my first billing was $80 in August of 1980, and by 1 year later, and I was in Bible college at the time, I went to my pastor and I said, someone wants me to, you know, start a nursing agency, which I was in before I was saved, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm studying Bible college. He said, let me tell you something. You, one man that I know that you're not going to be affected by money. He says, go for it. Of course, he was wanting me to go for it and make all that money I can give to church. No, I'm just kidding, just kidding. That was Dr. Calvert, by the way, but anyway, so you'll know who it is. But he said, you're one guy, money's not going to change you. He said, you go for it. So I started this nursing agency, and when I opened it up, it was number 50. There were 50 agencies in the metropolitan area. I was number 50, billed $80 in August of 1980. By the end of December 1981, I billed $1.8 million. $50, how God blessed it. Took it from number 50 to number 2. And then when there came to a point, I made God a commitment. The day that that business takes me away from my calling, I'll get rid of it. And so in 1987, and this is when I was giving gin, I loved all the perks and everything that went along with it. And we were coming from Tennessee from a meeting one time, and I stopped at the Tennessee line and picked up the phone, called my nursing director, and she said, "Is the malpractice issue going on?" And I said to her, "Close it. Shut it down." Didn't try to sell it, anything, just close it down. My wife still says the dumbest thing that you ever done in your life. And anyway, I inherited $300,000 worth of debt because I had to pay all the money back to the corporation you couldn't pay, and that's a whole long story. But my salary went from here down to here, and I'm a pastor now, and the church certainly couldn't pay that kind of money. So we learned to live by faith, end up selling our house and walking away. And my wife went through breast cancer for 3 years. And, you know, as a husband, your wife, her house, I mean, we're the fourth house in that development, and she loved it, and I didn't want to take that away from her. And so she walked to me one day and said, "You know what, we need to sell this house." Because I had to make a choice, either cut my giving or get rid of that house. And I was so glad when my mate said to me, "We don't need this house." We walked away with $128 in our pocket, debt-free. And I said, "One day God will give you a better house." And it was 28 months. We rented for 28 months and then ended up buying a house where we live today. And it has everything, all the other houses put together, and it's paid for. You know, that's the way God. But in all of those years, we increased our giving. Never cut one time. Increased our faith promise every year. I made a commitment when I was a church member that I would never pay more for a house or anything than I've given to God. And we've kept that promise over the years. And oh, how he has blessed, and taught our children that. And God wants us to understand that. He entrusts people with resources, but he wants us to be a soul of blessings to other people. And learn to pay God your tithes and offerings. Prove to God you love him by how you give, and then have a pleasing attitude that I'm going to give for the cause of Jesus Christ. So he says a liberal soul is a generous giver. Now let's go back to Proverbs, and I want you to see a second thing he says. And this really hits all of us. The liberal soul in verse 25 shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You know, God wants us to understand something. He knows we're human. We're flesh. And by the way, if you haven't realized it yet, and I'm sure you have, we're a mess. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. You know, if we take a look at ourselves, we don't often find things wrong with us. And God knows that we're human. So he's saying, I want you to be a liberal soul. I want you to take what you have, regardless of your circumstances, and I want you to learn to sow for the benefit of other people. But here's something I also want you to understand. If you are generous in your giving, you will also gain from your giving. You can't outgive God. And he wants us to know that sowing hands are receiving hands. I mean, if I sow bountifully, I'm going to reap blessings. Nobody has ever given anything to God that you haven't gotten something back. Good. And it's not always in money. And I learned that a long time ago. I can remember when we were giving in the days, we never had flat tires. Our kids never got sick. Just so many times a blessing. My son, Michael, my oldest son, is the same age as your pastor. And I remember when he graduated from high school, and we lived in McLean, Virginia. It was a pretty nice area, and we had about 2/3 of an acre. And on the back of our house, we had our bedroom was on the first floor. You could walk out 4 sections of the house, from the kitchen to the living room to the family room to the bedroom, all out on a deck. The problem is we didn't have a deck. We had bars. We had bars across. I mean, you're living in this house, and we were the only black family there. So, you know, you got to work on that a little bit. Anyway, we had bars across the back, all the way across there. And my son went to Fairfax Baptist Temple Academy. He's a graduate. He wanted to have all the kids over for his graduation. But we didn't have a deck. So I don't know who it was. And I can't remember which one thought, you know, we weren't giving all this money to church. Maybe we could have a deck for our son. Anyway, that thought went away real quick wherever it came from. And so he said, "Dad and Mom, what just wrong? Everybody else, look, everybody else got a deck right here, and we don't have anything, you know." So we were sitting there, and a guy walked, knocks on our door, and he says, "How would you like to put a deck?" The deck was $17,000. He said, "I tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll put that deck all the way across your house, and I'll do it for $8,000, and then I will give you all the time you need to pay for it with no interest." And he came and built that deck. My son had all of his classmates over and built that deck. And I said, "That's how good God is. God says you gain from your giving." I was counseling my sister and her husband in my office a number of years ago about giving, about paying their tithes and offerings. And he said to me, he says, "Yeah, if I had what you had, you know, I pay tithes too." I said, "Look, man, if you can't tithe off $100 a week, you're not going to tithe off $1,000 a week. That's just the way it is. You know, if God can't get $10 from you, you think he's going to get $100? You know, I know you've probably, I don't know, out of California, you've heard the story about Rufus. Rufus was must have been a black fellow, you know, I can identify with him anyway. guy said to him, "Hey, Rufus, we're good friends, right?" He said, "Man, you know we're good friends." He said, "If you had $1,000,000, would you give me, your good friend, half of it?" He said, "If I had $1,000,000, $500,000 would be yours." He said, "Man, that's good friendship." He said, "Hey, Rufus, we're good friends." He said, "You know we're good friends. If you had $100,000, would you give me half of it?" He said, "If I had $100,000, $50,000 of it would be yours. You're my friend." Wow, that's good. He said, "Hey, Rufus, are we really good friends?" He said, "You know we're good friends. If you had $1,000, would you give me half of it?" "If I had $1,000, $500 would be yours." "Man, we're good friends." "Hey, Rufus, you sure we're good friends?" "We're good friends, man." He said, "If you had $100, would you give me half of it?" "If I had $100, $220, and a 10 would be yours." He said, "Man, we're good friends." "You sure we're good friends?" "We're good friends." He said, "If you had two hogs, would you give me one of?" "Why you ask me that? You know I got two hogs." Dr. Calvert, I'm going to tell it, you can tell him I told you, that was using that out in the Midwest one time. And instead of using hogs, he was on Midwest combines. Anybody know what a combine is? So he's going to identify with the people. And so he went all the way down to that, and then he got to the end where it said two hogs. He said, "If you had two concubines, would you give me one?" You got to learn that sowing hands, reaping blessings. You can't outgive God. And I'm not just preaching. I'm telling you what I have experienced in my life. Giving to God. I mean, I learned to live when I dropped that business of making $250,000 a year, and Perks changed my Lincoln Town Car every 18 months. And I'm telling you, we learned to live by faith. And I've seen God do miracle after miracle. I've never gotten close to what I made in business, and I have more than I've ever had in my life. And I can't attribute it to being spiritual or anything else, but I can go back and say I've twice a year, all of these years, every January, every May, we increase our faith giving, and we've learned how to be generous in our giving. And a liberal soul who's generous in his giving as a church giver, a consistent giver, you're going to gain from your giving. You're going to gain from your giving. There are benefits. My wife could stand and give you testimony after testimony of how God has blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. God says, "I've given you resources, but I didn't give them the resources just for you to be selfish about them. I want you to look at other people." And as you invest in other people, God says, "You sow, you're going to reap. And learn to sow bountifully that you might reap blessings." And then the last one here that I want you to look at, that he says, a liberal soul is generous in his giving. A liberal soul gains from his giving. And then verse 26 says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And the idea here is that a liberal soul is not only generous in his giving, gains from his giving, but is gracious in his giving. And what I mean by that, this is a picture of a corn grower who holds back selling his corn when things are scarce, waiting for a better time to get a better price, compared to one who takes what he has when difficult times are there and invests it in helping other people. What a beautiful picture of what grace giving and faith promise giving is all about. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm sure you're very familiar with this passage. When it comes to missions giving and it comes to being a liberal soul, regardless of my circumstances, regardless of the conditions I'm facing in life, God says, I'm in control. I know what's happening. I'm the one that is blessing you. I'm the one that's entrusting you. And I want you to understand that when it comes to investing your resources or being a liberal soul or a soul of blessings, it's not based upon the circumstances you're facing in life or the conditions you may face. That's nothing to do with it. God says, I want you to understand that I'm in control of your life. And he says, I want you to do it regardless of your circumstances or regardless of the consequences. And, of course, we know the stories in 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10. And I'm sure that's been taught many times here. Now, Dr. Sis has been here. We see this gift of the saints of Jerusalem that Paul had talked about, the church of Corinth, and they made a promise there, and for 1 year didn't do that. He writes this letter back. It's a letter that gives an example and an exhortation and the execution of it and tells them how profitable it is. But he lays out here the churches of Macedonia, and I have taught this in our church for many, many years. But notice he says, here, who can participate in this faith promise that you're going to take today? How can I be generous? What is God looking for in my life? And by the way, 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10 eliminate all excuses of anyone being able to participate in faith promise giving. It talks about the churches of Macedonia. First of all, the participants there in verses 1 and 2, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These people were in great affliction, deep poverty, but they participated in this offering. Faith promise, without a doubt, is scriptural, it's simple, it's systematically, and it's successful. It works. It works. I've seen a little church that I've pastored there for some 30 years of just men and women, boys and girls, just like this local church. This year, we're somewhere between $11 and $12 million above building two buildings, above everything else we've done that we've given for world evangelization. And God blesses that. God blesses that. And by the way, you'll find that as you're faithful in giving to missions, then you'll be faithful in paying your tithes, and the ministry can grow and can expand. Nobody here is too poor to be able to participate in your faith promise giving today. Every man, every woman, every boy can participate. These people gave, it says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministerings of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but notice this, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I've learned that if God has my heart, he has everything that I have. And that's the whole key. The reason these poor people could participate the way they did was because they first gave themselves to the Lord. He was number one. Above your money, God wants you. He wants your heart. And if he has your heart, then he has everything else. In verses 6 and 7, he talks about the fact that he sent Titus down to teach them about the matter of participating. He said, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What he's talking about, the grace of giving, the grace of giving for the sake of other people. God says, you want to be known as a church. You don't be known by the size of your building or the size of your congregation or how much land you have or how great your choir is. any of that. You be known by having the grace of giving for the sake of other people. Learn to be a mission-hearted church that says we exist to be a blessing to someone else. Verse number 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. You do not have to give to Faith Promise. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God, and robbers ought to be where? In jail. Nobody in California believes that. We believe, I believe you rob God, that's wrong. I'm commanded to pray. I'm commanded to go to church. I'm commanded to tithe. But I am not commanded to give to missions. And if you decide that you do not want to fill out one of these cards, and there are no names on here, you don't want to give to missions, you don't have to. You don't have to give to missions. Now, if you don't pay your tithes, you may have to go and let God take it. But you don't want to do that. So you pay your tithes. You said, I'm not going to give the missions. I don't believe in this. I don't want to participate. You're not commanded to do this. And Paul says, I speak not by commandment. So if you decide not to give to missions today, you're not sinning, but you prove something. You prove you don't love God. But I don't know about you. That gets to me because I don't prove to God I love him by how I sing, oh, how I love Jesus. God himself has put in his word a way to prove that I love what he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You look at verse number 9. It's not caught up in this matter of giving to missions just to be there. When you read it, you ought to tremble when you said in verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. When I think about how much God loved me, enough to send his son to die for my sins. Can I love God enough and prove it by giving? We prove to our wives as husbands that we love them by action. And God says, you prove. Paul says, I can't speak not by commandment, but to prove the sincerity of your love. Around our church, people always kid my wife how she prays or gets a testimony. She says, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. And they ladies imitate her all the time. My kids get her all the time. And she does love God. I don't know if anybody loves God more than she does. And has more faith than she does and has more wisdom. And all of that I've benefited from over the years. But you ought to love God. Love God is something you ought to desire. And if you love God, you will love what God loves. And he loves people and loves souls. Verse 10, he says, Paul says, and I herein I give my advice, for it is expedient or it is profitable. It's profitable for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. It tells the church of Corinth, if you participate in this giving for others, he said, it's profitable. It's profitable for you. It's profitable for a local church that has a good missions program to give to other people because missionaries will help the local church do that which God has commanded the local church to do. It helps us to get the gospel around the world. And, of course, it's profitable for us because it helps us to be able to lay up treasure in heaven. And then he said in verse number 11, and this is what you're going to have an opportunity today, now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. May God help us to be the kind of Christians and the kind of church that I understand, that will take a look at our own individual responsibility. We are stewards managing that which belongs to somebody else who happens to be God. I don't own anything. I don't own my time. I don't own my talent. I don't own my treasure. It all belongs to Almighty God. And I don't know, I like this precept. I like the fact that I have an opportunity to participate in something that's dear to the heart of God. And may God help us as local New Testament Christians to not spend so much time as the world tries to get us to do, being liberal in our philosophy and liberal in our politics and liberal in our music and people fighting to do all that and liberal and all of these other things. May God help us to learn how to be liberal in our giving. The liberal soul, the soul of blessing, shall be made fat. Lord, help me to be generous in my giving for the sake of other people. Help me to be a good church giver who's consistent. I know from the Word of God that if I'm liberal in my giving, I will gain from my giving. But I live in a world sometimes where things change. My circumstances may not be all that I think they need to be. But God, help me to be gracious. Help me to come to the point in my life. If the saints, those Macedonian Christians in deep poverty and great affliction gave because they first gave their heart to the Lord, help me to give my heart to the Lord because I want to be a liberal soul. I want to be generous because I'm going to gain from my giving, and help me to be gracious regardless of my circumstances, regardless of the consequences. Bestow enough grace upon me so that you can look down upon my life and say, that's a man, that's a woman, that's a boy, that's a girl who's learned how to be liberal in their giving, because that's a soul of blessings. And that's what the world needs from members of our local New Testament churches. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are never generous enough. When we compare the blessings of God, we look at how you've given us health and strength, given us a good local New Testament church, rewards our time and talent that's given through the local church. And oftentimes we spend so much time trying to be liberal in the things of the world rather than being liberal in our giving. And I pray as you look down upon the commitments of faith promise through this local church here this day, I pray you'll look down and say, that's a liberal soul. That's a soul of blessings when it comes to giving for the sake of others. You bless all that takes place today, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Baldwin. It's always good to be reminded.